I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is 8:34 Eastern Time. So we're starting 4 minutes late. And I saw Zach, and I also see, I believe, Serene. So this is the Pacifica National Board regular session teleconference meeting, Thursday, October 17th, 8:30 Eastern Time. And we are starting at 8:34. Madam Secretary, will you be kind to take the roll?
Indeed. Call up when you, or answer when you, when I call your name, Irene Adams. I'll keep going. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Sorry, I was just in the wrong place. Kaja Brown. All right, I'll keep going. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Paul DiRienzo.
I'm here.
Thank you, Paul. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
I'm here.
Thank you, Vanessa. Fred Dodsworth. I'll come back to Fred. Jan Goodman.
I'm here.
Thank you, Jan. Heather Gray.
Here.
Thank you, Heather. Avalia Jones.
I'm here.
Thank you, Avalia. Zach Caldvier.
Here.
Thank you, Zach. Marianne Martinez.
Here.
Thank you, Marianne. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Thank you, Serene. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Harvey Wasserman. I'll keep going. Egberto Willis. I'll keep going. Susan Young.
Here.
All right. Let me go back up the top. Irene Adams. Kaja Brown. Fred Dodsworth.
Here.
Thank you, Fred. Harvey Wasserman. Egberto Willis.
I see that Harvey just came on. I think both Irene and Egberto may be late, but I think Harvey came on. There he is.
Hello.
Is that Harvey Wasserman?
It is.
All right, Harvey, thank you.
But you can call me Sluggo.
Okay. That's just not actually on my roster here. Let me go through the other people. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Arthur Schwartz, although I don't think we expect him this early. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Did Irene join us? Kaja? Egberto. Okay, well, we have quorum.
Okay. Report out from the executive session of September 19th and October 7th meetings. September 19th, the PNB adjourned without agreeing to a report out and will remedy this during the executive session this evening. October 7th, the PNB met in closed session to receive an update about the KPFK property sale and authorize the ED to sign a transfer of deed to accomplish the sale of the property. excused absences. We haven't had any requested. Identify timekeepers. Alfredo, are you willing to do people?
I am, but I will be strict about it.
Okay. Kick butt. And we don't have Irene today, at least not yet. Do we have somebody who is willing to do issues, topics, agenda items? Don't all leap in at once.
Donna, how about you?
Who did you ask?
I asked Donna Carter if she would do it.
Well, maybe in a few more meetings, but I still not have a hard time keeping up with stuff. So.
The agenda is the pretty long one. It's like the 5-minute, 10-minute, 30-minute stuff. The nightmare is the speakers.
I'll give it a try.
Thank you, Donna. Great. And so, Donna, you need to keep me, on point by saying, hey, how many minutes do we give this? Okay, Donna? So at the start of each agenda item, you and I will communicate with each other. Okie dokie. Agenda for approval, for the open portion of the agenda. That's 5 minutes. Approve open session minutes, March 21, April 18, June 6th, 5 minutes. ED report and Q&A, 30 minutes. Committee reports, see appendix, 30 minutes. Audit, 3. Coordinating, 1. Finance, 3. Governance, 20. Personnel, 3. Strategic planning, 3. Old business. Motion from Jim Dingman on programming committee. Motion from Jim Dingman on strategic planning committee. Motion from Jim Dingman on technology task force. Motion from Serene Roberts on executive sessions. Motion from Serene Roberts on accurate records. Motion from Jim Dingman on independent investigation of the state of the archives. Motion from Serene Roberts on audit committee. Motion from Serene Roberts on director's access. Motion from Serene Roberts on meeting rosters. Motion from Paul DiRanzo on Gaza. Motion from Serene Roberts to stand up the elections committee and convert it to a standing committee. Motion from Serene Roberts regarding subcarrier income. Motion from Jim Dingman on creating a media-oriented project 2025. Motion from Serene Roberts on interim station management. Number 7, new business. Number 8, move to closed session at time no later than 9:45. We hold the closed session and then adjourn at a time certain, 11 p.m. Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, it's approved. Okay, the first item are the minutes. So let me just say that we're very fortunate to have a volunteer who is helping us catch up with the minutes. And so we're going to bring them forward in chewable bites. Remember that amendments to minutes can be made in the future. So I request, is there any objection to adopting the minutes for March 21, 2024? Hearing none, they're approved.
I'd like to abstain on all the minutes. Thanks.
Okay, excellent. So the secretary will note that Serene Roberts abstains on all of the minutes. Kaja, do you want to say hi and say your name?
Hi, Kaja.
Great.
Mark present. Thank you.
So glad you know who you are. I know who I am about 50% of the time. Minutes for April 18th. Is there any objection to approving those minutes? Hearing none, they're approved. Minutes for June 6th. Is there any objection to approving those minutes? Hearing none, they're approved. And noting, Madam Secretary, that Serene Roberts abstains for all three. At least I think that's what I understand. Okay, now to the executive director's report. Stephanie, are you in a place to take it away?
Yes.
Tell Darlene or tell Donna how much time she has.
So, thank you, Fred. 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Okay.
Good evening. The ED report was sent out to everyone this morning. We'll jump right into it. On the sale of the Los Angeles building, escrow officially closed on the building on Friday, October 11th. Attached to the ED report are details of the payout. The building was sold for $4.5 million. The payout lists a sale price of $4.350 because we were forced to waive our physical inspection contingency. Well, the buyer waived their physical inspection contingency if we were to provide 150 credit off the purchase price at closing. And this was necessary because once they supplied us with the bids and proposals of the multiple inspections, reports, and various work that needed to be done on the building, plumbing, roof, HVAC, electrical, and various structural components, those repairs would have been at a considerably higher cost. So they said rather than holding us accountable for any of those or having those done when they were to move in and close escrow, they waived that physical inspection contingency. Out of the proceeds from the sale of the building, all of the liens have been paid off. So for FJC, all the liens on the building, the technically FJC, there's still a lien on the Berkeley building. But for FJC, we were able to provide them $1,356,982.27. That was wired to FJC on the 14th. The funds are being used to decrease the principal amount of the loan. I gave them a call once they received the wire, and they stated that, and I asked them if they could provide us with a revised total amount and the new payment dates for our quarterly payments that will now be due. And they said that they will provide that for us during the week of October 21st. So that's just next week. And then the brokers are sending FJC a recorded copy of the reconveyance. As far as SBA, $2,154,802.34 was wired to the SBA on the 14th. $2 million was to pay off the principal, and $154,802.34 was for interest. I called the SBA on the 16th. Actually, surprisingly enough, the SBA called me on the 16th per a letter that was sent to them by Julie Hewitt. So all of the letters and things that were sent out were very helpful with congresspeople. You know, it was so that was great that she called. But so I appreciate that. But they called and I just wanted to confirm with them that it had been paid off, but she said that she was yes, it has been paid. We've seen the wire, but they were not in a position to pull that proof up. And she said that we will receive a payoff letter within 6 to 8 weeks, but obviously everything went through on our side because of the title and the escrow and everything. But SBA is just a little slow, to provide people with the information that they need. Also paid off was a lien that was placed on the building by Grace Aaron. So $35,071.72 was wired to Grace. $30,481 was for the principal, and then $4,590.72 was for interest. There was a question that was raised at the meeting that we had on the 7th regarding having the $2.1 million in escrow while we continue to getting the lien switched. Arthur reached out immediately after the meeting to our brokers. The brokers then reached out to the title company to discuss that, but they basically said that this was a great concept, but we were told that it wouldn't work because if the money was held in escrow, then the lien is not cleared. Therefore, the transaction could not close. So after other costs that are on the breakdown of how the funds were allocated, which also include county taxes, there was the recording fee to the government transfer, city transfer, the county transfer, the commission, overnight fees to the title company, owner's title insurance to the title company, just the kind of basic regular things that are with any sort of sale of property. We were able to net $531,027.75, and that was wired into our account on the 15th. So one of the things that we did immediately was to pay part of the past due that was owed to the National Election Supervisor, hence why we were able to then get those results out of the election. We had a meeting with KPFK, or we've been meeting and discussing and sharing obviously things with KPFK because it's affecting them as far as the move out. And we all need to be here. The staff needs to be out of the building, the Los Angeles building, by October 25th. We need to actually have it broom clean by the 24th so we can hand over the keys on the 25th. One of the things that KPFK is asking for, they're putting out carts as well over the air, is for volunteers to be able to go and help with any sort of that last minute packing, organizing our keep versus trash piles, and that final cleanup. KPFK is hosting a, if you want it, you can take it event this Saturday, as long as you have a truck, and there will be people there to let you know what you can and cannot take, because we also have movers that are there this week. We have movers that are there next week. So it will be, but there's like filing cabinets and chairs and things like that that we won't be using. So if anybody has a hankering to help out KPFK with either packing, organizing, or that final cleanup, by all means, please reach out to the station or let me know, and I will let the interim general manager, Michael Novick, know. And if there's anything that you wanted, you take it and you can haul it away on Saturday. Go there and it will be yours. An update on the Pacifica Radio Archives and the Archive Legacy Project.
Hang on, yes. Just a minute, Stephanie, because each of these is a complex matter. I suggest, and I'm not sure what are the things, I've got a little spot on my screen, what are the things that should be just held for closed session? So just keep that in mind. But why don't we ask whether there are questions about the transaction, about okay. The sale? And about what's happening with KPFK. Milo's got her hand up, then Serene.
Thank you. The ED report that was sent out to everybody too can be shared. There's nothing in there, including the payout. I mean, we're open book as far as, you know, transparency with things like that. So this ED report that people have can be shared with their LSVs and committees.
Great. Stephanie, I was just searching for that ED report. I haven't located it yet, but I'm wondering if in the report you tell us, you said that the lien that had been placed on the building by Grace Aaron was satisfied, but there was also interest on the amount. And, I'm wondering if you know off the top of your head or if it's in your report what the interest rate was that on that lien.
I don't know the interest rate off the top of my head. We can probably, if somebody's good with math, I'm a little tired right now. So I can't pull that out, but it's the principal was 30,481.
Jan Goodman.
Hang on a minute, Jan. Stephanie, keep answering. And then Jan, I guess you've got an answer for it.
Normally, legal rate of interest is 10%. Last time I knew.
Oh, okay. That's the helpful. Thank you. That's okay. What I
want. Okay, that answered your questions, Mala. Serene.
Okay, so this I do have a question for Stephanie, but I just got a message that the meeting is not being streamed.
You may not have been on the call when I explained that. Otis is not here, and we didn't have the chance to set up an alternate streaming. So he posted that the recording would be posted. So I announced that at the beginning of the meeting.
Oh, okay. I joined just as you guys were starting attendance. Sorry. I have a question. Can we publicize the Zoom and just mute the people who are listening?
Not today.
Do you understand what I'm saying? LSB members who are listening and may want to join or may want to hear it live. Well, they're not listening. That's the point. But if we can post it, send the links out, and those
no.
folks can just remain muted.
No, I don't. It's too hard to manage potential disruptions, and we're not, you know, we just are not going to be able to handle that tonight. We've already gone a little bit round and round about how to manage this, and that's beyond our capabilities. Okay. Other questions for Stephanie?
My question for Steph.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Serene.
So, my question for Stephanie: the Grace Aaron thing is that's with regard to when the KPFA protectors sued her. Which group was it that sued her and Alex Steinberg?
That was before my time. Somebody may have that information. I'm not too sure.
Okay. I mean, I think, you know, if we're going to use the name of an individual, we should sort of maybe have some background on how the monies came to be owing. I believe she had to hire a private attorney because there was no board.
Okay. This is off topic. Yeah. Fred?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, well, actually, Serene's time is up.
Yeah, okay. Fred, what else do you have?
I wanted to respond that the $30,000 was based upon the desire for Grace Aaron and Alex Steinberg not to go through the deposition process. And so it was a compromise to stop litigation between two parties.
Jim Tingman.
All right, thank you. You can tell me right now if this question should be an executive session. So I'd like to ask Stephanie what lessons we have learned about the idle process that can be shared with the public. Because the strategy, of course, as people knew and talked about, was to not have to go through this problem with idle. So I'm just wondering what lessons we've learned from this to perhaps prevent this in the future if we're going to be having to maneuver around with loans again. Thank you.
Well, the SBA, I think as we had kind of mentioned, had been reporting for almost a year now, is very slow to process things. Even when we were on the phone with them, with the title company, they were still having a hard time putting my name to the loan, even though we'd spent the last 8 to 9 months moving the name from the former executive director to myself. So there was just a lot of, you know, hoops and slow that needed to move forward. I think that it was wonderful that everybody stepped up after the meeting on the 7th and started reaching out to their local Congress people, requesting that we needed help. And that was wonderful, and it kind of showed the power of the board and what they can do. But when we started having problems with the lien getting removed 8 months to a year ago, that would have been helpful to have people step up at that point. But, you know, it's difficult to work. You can't speed along another organization, particularly a government organization.
No, I realize.
Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
I realize Monday morning quarterbacking is Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm just saying that, you know, I ran a business where we used to have to deal with this kind of problem all the time in New York for 10 years. And it always is a screw up. Always you'll have screw ups like this happen. And I'm just saying that, like, you know, going forward, I think that if we got this kind of flurry from the Congress based on 1 week, I think a lesson learned is that, as far as I'm concerned, each station should cultivate going forward, both on a bipartisan basis, their local congressional delegation, so that if we get into snags like this down the road, we won't have this last minute flurry. We will have a long term relationship with these folks established where they can intervene on our behalf. Because obviously, if we'd had that a year ago, we might have not had the problem that occurred. Thank you.
So I'm recognizing myself. I've got my hand back up and then go back to Serene. So one thing, to dovetail on what Jim Dingman has said, I think one of the things that we need to do when we're having these, you know, interactions with you, Stephanie, is if there is a place where there can be possibly a resource on this board that engages, that we actively ask for it, okay? Because I think we're all, I anyway, am sitting and listening to you and thinking, ah, she's so capable. I don't know that I need to do anything. The other thing is there's been some discussion about, and I think Jim Dingman already has taken a look at this. Is it possible to get a new SBA loan using some of the outreach that we implemented quickly to be able to refund the corporation, provide the resources that we hoped we'd be able to get out of the sale? And would it be possible to basically refinance anything? Jim told me it isn't, but I'd like to hear from Stephanie.
Well, it isn't really a matter of refinancing, but we have talked to with some of the congresspeople that have returned phone calls or have reached out, and there's just been a few. But even those people that gave us kind of the generic, thanks for contacting us, you know, we will get to your, and then they just obviously cut and pasted what was from the letter into their email response. But I'm still returning and responding to their emails and phone calls, even if it was just from a generic intern. But, you know, it's an inroad. We have talked to some of them regarding, you know, now that we have a connection with you, what we'd like to do is look at the possibility of getting another SBA loan if something is possible. Because, of course, we would, if we need to owe someone money, I would rather owe a loan at 30 years at 3% rather than, you know, FJC at 12%. And it's obviously not a 30-year loan, and we have payments every quarter, you know, so we'll see what those terms are as we get the new paperwork. So that's one of those things that we are looking at, and we'll see if it's possible, but I don't have an answer if whether it's possible or not. It isn't a matter of refinancing. I look at it as it would be money that would be received to help support operational dollars and what we need just moving forward as an organization, because part of the expenses that we have moving forward, whether that be with insurance or whether that be helping payroll, whether that's making repairs on towers, is also paying down past due vendors and paying our debts. And one of our debts is the FJC loan. So it isn't a matter of refinancing a loan. It's getting funding that would support the operational needs of the Pacifica Foundation.
Okay, Serene, then Jim. And Serene, 60 seconds.
Hi, Stephanie. A question. I don't know if you know the answer to this. How long would it be before our credit rating, that whatever the term would be for an organization, actually sees a bounce as a result of paying off the EIDL loan and paying down the FJC loan, for that matter?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on paper, and as we talk to, you know, when you explain what it is we've done, it's very positive. It may not have been in the direction that we wanted, you know, and oh, we only made $500,000. But when you look at the big picture, we just cut our loan debt in more than half. A loan that we got in 2021, I think the EIDL loan, is gone. So that was paid off in a relatively short amount of time. That looks good on paper. The fact we've reduced our debt significantly looks good on paper. So it's all how we frame it. And even other, you know, vendors and things that I've spoken to, they're very excited that we were able to sell the building and decrease our debt. So I will take, I know once we were also starting with our audits and getting our taxes, so then we'll have, you know, granted that's, you know, we'll be auditing past finances, but as they make their letter, the auditors write their letter, and they always put that letter of what we look like moving forward. This will be a significant, a positive step in their letter on how they view the future of Pacifica. So we're going to milk this as much as we can, and, you know, keep checking any sort of credit ratings and, you know, charity reviews and things like that, because in the long run, meaning even just a year from now or 6 months from now, it will be a positive check mark in our box. It's all how we frame it.
Jim, thanks. 60 seconds.
Well, actually, that's, I agree. Because, yeah, my preliminary investigation, you'd have to have professionals who dealt with the SBA, and I'm not. But it looks to me like the different options are difficult for us to get. However, that doesn't mean moving forward that we can't frankly, cultivate. We can do what we should have been doing for 10 years now. We can sit there and start to cultivate these elected officials, because I'm actually pleasantly surprised that you had a positive response from these letters. So even though the outlined options, I think there's a seven and a 504. 504 is where we would fall under. That's for nonprofits. It doesn't explicitly say we can use the capital to refinance. We can get it up to 5 million, but what the hell? This is now an opportunity to perhaps creatively take advantage of the situation, since the credit rating is now improved, and with the help of congressional delegations, get more money. Hell, this is a good
opportunity. Okay. Jim, your time's up. I'm going to recognize Heather and then me. Heather, sit at 90 seconds.
Oh, no, I'm going to be brief. Susan, I just want to congratulate Stephanie on the sale of this building. Good for you, Stephanie. Great work. Thank you.
Took a village. Thanks. Thank the board.
Okay. My second one is, Stephanie, I want to challenge everybody from KPFK. You may already be doing this full-throatedly, but I know that KPFT, we were really had volunteer power to get into our new building, to set it up, to completely change the way that we were operating. And I know that we have had people in the past who have gone and helped at other stations. So I hope that there is a big turnout. This is really a great opportunity for LSBs to do something really concrete rather than just argue bylaws and Robert's rules is what we tend to do. Myla.
Okay, I had to unmute. I just want to say, yes, I suppose congratulations, but for those of us from KPFK, this is kind of a sad turn of events, because we're losing our home. And I'm not really in the mood to celebrate right now, because, it was a great home for us. We had a wonderful studio with a grand piano that had been donated by the Beach Boys. And so a lot of us are really mourning the loss of our station.
Let me just add from all of us, we feel your pain. We were homeless, happy to be back in a home, and I hope this transition ends up being as constructive as possible. Thank you, KPFK. Thank you. All right, next issue. Stephanie, we're still on your time, and go to the next topics.
An update on the archives and the archive legacy digitization project. We've been kind of pre-awarded. We're making some adjustments on the grant application, but they've already given us the green light for a $30,000 grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities Division of Preservation and Access, which will help support the expense of storage materials like archival sleeves, racks, dehumidifiers for the collection while it goes through the 3-year digitization process. We also received 2 gifts from anonymous donors, $12,000 and $1,000, to also support the digitization process or project. And then we also received, which I reported on last time, a grant of $2,500 from the WGBH Educational Foundation for preserving endangered media. And those funds are being used to offset the cost of 2 interns, one who has started already, that is helping us create the item level spreadsheet inventory of all the media that's approved for digitization. One of the things that was kind of interesting that was brought to our attention is that one of the highlights of the digitization process is that all of the programs are going to be transcribed, and we've already done a series of test transcriptions. Well, the AAPB and the Library of Congress has already done a test of the transcription process on the completed series This Way Out, which aired on KPFK in the early 1970s and also included a live broadcast on WPFW in the late 70s of the first National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights. And the thing that's interesting is that when we have this transcription, the transcription worked beautifully. What we're not, you know, logistically, what we can do is if somebody needs a clip or they want something in particular, we can just go in, do a word search, and then find it on the transcription. But the thing that's most exciting for the Library of Congress and AAPB and for us to embrace as well is that by having all of our materials transcribed, it's going to be the first time that Pacifica material will be available for the hearing impaired. So that's opening up an entire world of not only grant dollars, but just new listeners, quote unquote, that will be able to get this historical context. So they were very excited. Library of Congress and AAPB were very excited with that transcription and how it worked. And some of them were brought to tears, actually, when they realized that we were bringing our this wonderful library to a whole new audience. One of the things to take a look at, which is kind of interesting as well, is in the ED report are before and after pictures of what's been happening in the storage facility. We rented another large storage unit that's working as kind of a temporary, well, an office, sort of a triage is what we're calling it area, where we're putting in everything as we clean out the storage units and move out things from the building that we're going into these clean, organized storage units. And then when that unit is full and then the one that we've cleaned out is empty, then that becomes the new triage and we just kind of move through the circular. So if you look at, there's two pictures in particular that were the large unit that we have that was before pictures, which were in my report, that were multiple pictures that we shared when we had the tour of the archives on April 24th, 2024. And then I was in the storage units and at the building on the 14th. So you can really see a significant difference with the organized shelving. You can see the floor, the lighting works. And on the pictures that are on the bottom, we have a lot of red and blue bins. And those bins are full of the items that are ready to be shipped off for digitization. And those are the bins that we were given to go ahead and send those out. So they're really making significant process. And it is a team of three and our intern that just started a couple days ago that now, since those boxes are packed, they're going to go in and just make sure that they add them onto the spreadsheet. So it was quite exciting to be able to walk in and see what's there. And also again on the ED report, I just gave a basic statement on the status of the archives, just to let people know that the archives is still up and running. We're taking a little bit longer to respond to some of the licensing requests that we've had. We've only had two, but we've been able to fulfill, since the last meeting, but we've been able to fulfill those. But really again, how we phrase it is that the department is really, it's being restructured. And we're still doing licensing and material requests as well as overseeing this archive legacy project, which again, as I've said before, we're in collaboration with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and the Mellon Foundation to catalog, digitize, transcribe, curate, and store our historic 80,000 plus collection. And again, we will maintain all intellectual property and licensing rights to the collection, and we will continue to own the physical materials after digitization. We are still looking for a place to house all of the materials when they come back. There is no one set location that has the space to hold everything. So we are talking with different universities. We're talking with different libraries to try to figure out what's the best way to store everything once it's been digitized, because we want to keep it, of course, for a certain amount of time just to make sure that there's that the digitization worked, that everything was transcribed correctly, so we want to also, obviously be able to keep those physical materials. But as we get closer to where we can house everything when it comes back, I will let you know.
Okay, so we've got questions. I'd like to recognize Minerva first. She hasn't spoken before, then Heather, then me, then Jim, and Minerva, 90 seconds.
Time. Time.
Oh, Donna. Okay. So, Donna, you're tough. You're one tough customer.
Good.
Okay. It takes two-thirds to extend the time. Actually, what our policy is, exhaust the stack. For those who haven't spoken before, and the only person who hasn't spoken before is Minerva. Otherwise, we would need two-thirds to extend the conversation with the executive director. So, Minerva, why don't you go ahead and make your statement, and then we'll go on to the next agenda item.
All right. First, thank you, Stephanie, for this very informative report. And my question is related to the individuals that are working on the archived information. You mentioned that there were three individuals. Are these individuals that were part of the original archive group, or are they new individuals with the intern?
No, out of the three that are cleaning the storage, two are just like hourly people coming in that are packing and moving and cleaning. So they aren't staff members. It's just people that wanted to come in and clean and work in storage facilities. So they're not doing anything with the digitization or the organizing. It's the hard labor or the dirty job of sweeping through, mouse droppings and things like that.
Okay. And then the final, is there any thought about there possibly being in the future, not now, but future, maybe a museum or some type area where individuals would be able to see and understand the history of Pacifica? And I know it wouldn't be in our area, but, you know, just a thought of something like that, I think would be real helpful in where you store this information going forward. I think we need to look for a long-term home for these items, unless I miss something and we already have one. Thank you.
We don't have a long-term home. A lot of the pieces are being, once everything is digitized, there will be curation of sound, just like you would go to an art museum and have a curation, you know, a curated something that's, you know, just all Matisse, or it's just all, you know, so we are working on having a, and this is why we're working with the Library of Congress and AAPB and people that are familiar with curation and library sciences and sound, of having a curation of sound that could be part of a museum display. And that definitely virtual. There can be easily virtual museums that you're going through, and you could pull up the audio with matching images that we may have. But yeah, down the road, I think that would be absolutely wonderful. But we got to get everything curated first. But yeah, it is, and we've had people approach us as well with books on the history, and then with the transcriptions, that will help. So there's a lot of possibilities and things that we can do with it moving forward. But yeah, it would be wonderful if there's a, you know, multiple sound museums, and we could have a traveling exhibit.
Brilliant idea.
Thank you.
Okay, so next up are committee reports, and let me, our diligent and fierce timekeeper, Donna, 30 minutes. Okay, the first one is audit. I don't see Irene here. I know that she scheduled a meeting for next week. Julie, was it October 24th, I think?
It's Thursday the 24th, and it's at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
And by Zoom. And Stephanie, have you found last year's engagement letter?
Yes, I do have the letter, and I didn't attach it. I know you would mention to me to attach that, because I reached out to the auditors to get and I can send it to everybody now, but we're going to get a new engagement letter, and the auditors are working on providing that. I was hoping I'd get it before those meeting, but we didn't. That would be a new engagement letter for compiling jointly the audits for fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, which the goal is to lessen the expense. And so, again, I thought I would have it before this meeting, but I haven't. So
but
I, that was signed for, you know, it's signed in 2023, if people want, but they'll just most likely be getting another one within the next couple days.
Serene, 90 seconds.
Thanks. So when I, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote to you, Stephanie, and asked whether the audit committee was going to meet in order to give authorization for the 2023 hire of the same auditors. I mean, I understand at this point, certainly, they should be combined, and it would make sense to do it with the same person. But do you know if that's the thrust of the meeting that's coming up this Thursday?
I do not. That's my understanding. That's my understanding. Okay, Jim?
Sorry, who's answering me?
So, sorry, Serene, Kat, you haven't finished?
No, I asked Stephanie.
I do not know the agenda of the audit committee or what the plan is for the audit committee.
Okay, thanks. The state filings that are needed, are those also going to be done by these auditors? Because I don't think they were done with the last audit.
The 990 state and federal will be filed.
If you recall, remember when we were trying to do some events here in New York, and there were these requirements that certain reports had to have been filed with the state in order for us to collect funds on public property, et cetera, when we were trying to do some work around the street fairs. So we did them, but we couldn't do everything we wanted to do. Those reports were not filed with the 2021 audit. So are these auditors going to catch up with everything that needs to be done?
Sure. If that's what they are part of, if that's something that they've done in the past, then that's what we'll do. We file with the state Secretary of State in California, and we're in good standing with the Secretary of State. We have that certificate, and I send that out to people when they request it. So I don't know what state filings needed to be done.
Okay, I'll send you the forms again. I know because you ended up having to help us find
your time
some
is
of those
up,
forms.
Serene.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever you have, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to look at it with you, and we'll figure it out. Thank you,
my love. Okay. What is your point? Or are you asking a question?
Irene Adams has joined the meeting. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Irene. Will you be kind to speak up?
Good evening, everyone. I am now here in the meeting. Thank you.
Welcome.
And Irene, we're talking about the audit committee that you have scheduled for next week. There's a question about the agenda. Is that prepared yet?
No, the agenda is not prepared yet. This is the convening meeting. We're trying to get ourselves settled and see who's who and who's going to do what. We haven't had any subject matter that what's on the agenda is just getting settled and figuring out who's who and who's going to do.
Got it. Okay, Jim Dingman,
all right.
90 seconds.
So how much money are we allocating for audits to catch up? And that's significant, I guess, out of the money we got out of the sale. It looks like we're not doing AFRs. And as we all know, AFRs are what's required if we're going to like get back onto the CPB track. So I was wondering what the expense is going to be for those audits to, you know, co-catch up with that. And then the issue of the state of New York, that's always been a problem. There's always been a screw up getting nonprofit status with the state of New York. I remember the development director discovered that they hadn't been able to reestablish that. About, I think it was back in 10 or 12 years ago she brought that up. So that's just a mechanical thing that can be handled. But that's an interesting question because different states have different requirements for these kind of things. So, but that can be easily handled. But how much do you think is this going to cost to do these audits to catch us up with just the audit part, let alone the AFR part?
Well, the AFRs are completely separate. When you're talking about doing the AFRs, the AFRs are forms that are required and provided by the CPB. And in order to get back on track with those, we need to go back 10 years and do all the AFRs that we didn't submit when we received funding back in the day. So that's completely separate from our audit. Anytime you get a government grant, there are certain forms that you need to fill out on how you spend that money, and different budgets that you need to fill out. And those are the things that need to be done. So the CPB AFRs have nothing to do with our audits or our taxes. That would be a completely separate entity. And we would need to get those forms dating back from, 2003 or whatever forward. But once we get the letter from the auditors and see if we can, how much money we can save by doing 2 years jointly. Then we'll get a better idea on how much we can save. And if we want to stay with those auditors for the next year, sometimes it's good to move it up, you know, change, move it around every few years. So it may be different auditors that we have in 2023 or for the 2023 audit, 2024. So, you know, we had originally put aside, I think it was 85,000, I think it was 85 or, yeah, it was $85,000. That would be the audit and the taxes, but it may come in, hopefully it will come in significantly a little bit less if we do it jointly. So we could easily set aside, that would be the audit committee to decide, but we could set aside probably 125, 130.
Okay. Let me note, and I did not alert our timekeeper that the audit committee was supposed to have 3 minutes. So we've gone past that. I can follow up on the coordinating committee. We did not have a meeting. Finance committee, Darlene, can you give a quick report?
A quick report. we are expecting the affiliates, budget at our next meeting. We do know that both the PFW and the WBAI budgets have moved forward in the process. So, while we're not going to get everything done by the end of fiscal year, because that's gone by, it does look like we're going to get things done, sooner than it's been done in, a number of years. And so far, all the budgets have been struggled over and are coming in as a not deficit budget. So happy about that. And
thank you.
Oh, and the NSC meets twice a month. We sort of owe ourselves a meeting. We didn't meet for lack of, being able to get the work in. So we might meet a little bit even more than just twice a month. But it does look like there'll be nothing left to do come December 1st. And I just realized I probably brought the wrath of the gods down on us by bragging about that. So maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. Finance committee, 3 minutes. Now the governance committee and, Donna, let me cue you 20 minutes for the governance committee because it has a number of motions it's bringing forward. Fred.
Yeah. As you all know, the PNB assigned to the governance committee to go and look at all these, particular issues that were brought up, important issues that were, that needed to be addressed. And we, as a group, looked at them and tried to figure out, what were the current status of the situation was and what issues had been dealt with previously. And we came up with a variety of motions, essentially exactly what people wanted. But we redirected it. There were four directors from each. Okay. This is substitute motion for 6D.
Let me just point people. It is sure. In the appendix. These motions are in the appendix for open session 5D motions for governance committee 5D1.
Is that and we sent all these out to the PNB back in September 19th. Each of the four directors of each station are instructed to verify that the LSB minutes are current for 2023 and 2024 on KPFT's X, including report outs from LSB executive sessions. And there's a designation as to what requirements that is, in the motion. It's CPB 47, USC 36, 396K 5, and a request that LSB's post within 10 days moving forward those notes. The director should report back to the PNB by September 19th. So moved.
No second is required. What's your question? Serene, question?
Yeah, under what authority did you as chair decide that motions that were brought to the PNB would instead be shunted off to a secret meeting to decide which of them had value.
So
point of order, point of order.
Yes. What's your point?
Madam Chair, we went through this whole back and forth, I think highly obstructive conversation in our last meeting. It was very disruptive. It's already been covered. So I find this out of order to even bring it up again.
I find your point of order well taken. All right, there is a motion on the floor. No second is required because it is a motion coming out of committee. And so is there any objection to approving 5D1 as read by the committee chair?
I object to this entire process, and I have a point of personal privilege with regard to a statement just made by the member from Texas.
That is not a point of personal privilege, Madam Chair.
Yeah, no, that's, Serene, I find it not well taken.
My question gets to be described as disruptive.
Point of order.
Yes.
Point of order. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, at this point, I think we either need to take a vote on whether she's out of order or she needs to stop pushing it, because right now she interrupted you again. You made your call and she's interrupting you again. That's disruptive.
Teresa, I find your point well taken. Do you wish to, and that is the ruling of the chair, that Serene, you're out of order. Do you wish to challenge the ruling of the chair?
I wish to challenge the ruling of the chair.
Okay.
She has
great.
To be recognized, and she was recognized.
It goes straight to a vote now. Ruling of the chair is that Serene is out of order for being disruptive. I find the point of order raised by Teresa Allen to be well taken. If you support the ruling of the chair that Serene is out of order. No, if you do not support the ruling of the chair.
I'm appealing the ruling of the chair. I get to speak.
It's not debatable, Serene. This is not debatable. Go ahead, Julie.
That doesn't even comport with your own rules.
It's Robert's rules.
All right. I found my mute button. So I'm calling the roll. Yes, if you support the ruling of the chair. No, if you don't. Irene Adams?
Yes.
Irene's a yes. Teresa Allen?
Allen's yes.
Teresa's a yes. Kaja Brown?
Abstain.
Kaja abstains. Donna Carter?
Abstain.
Donna abstains. Paul DiRienzo?
No.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingaman?
No.
Jim's a no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Vanessa's a no. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm going to pass for the moment.
Fred's passing. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather?
No.
Heather's a no. Thanks. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez? Marianne? I'll keep going. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
No.
Ron's a no. Myla Reason?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts?
No.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yeah.
Harvey's a yes. Did Egberto join us? All right, let me go back up to the top. Fred Dodsworth, you passed?
Yes, I'm going to vote yes.
I'd like to change
Fred
my
vote. Yes. Was that Donna Carter?
Yeah, I'll make mine a no.
Donna Carter's a no. Marianne Martinez?
Marianne, you're muted.
I tried calling her. She may have had to step away.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, at this point, the yeses are 10, the noes are 8, and there's one abstention. So the ruling of the chair has been supported.
Point of order, I guess. I'm sorry. I have 9 no and 10 yes, so that doesn't change the outcome. But when Donna Carter changed from an abstention to a no, according to my tally, it still doesn't change the outcome. But I could definitely be wrong. Sorry.
There were two abstentions. One was Kaja.
Yes.
And one was Donna, and she changed hers.
Right. I got that.
Okay.
As I said, it doesn't change the outcome.
All right. So back to the, so the secretary will double check that, but back to the motion that is on the floor. To adopt.
It's 10. I'm sorry. Can I just clarify this? It's 10 yeses, 8 noes, and 1 abstention. I don't know what I said before.
Apologies.
Okay. So the motion on the floor is the one that is read by the committee chair, was brought forward unanimously by the committee. Is there any objection to the motion, which is listed under under open session appendix 5D1? Okay, hearing none, it passes. Fred, will you go forward with the motion under 5D2?
Yes, this is the substitute motion for 6E. It is now designated 5D2. We request that the PNB secretary make sure that the PNB complies with the Communications Act requirements, and that 4 directors of each station make sure that the website transparency pages of their stations are current. Secretary and directors will report on their progress to the PNB, and unfortunately it says September 19th of 2024. That date has passed. I don't quite know how to deal with this at this stage of the game.
So, a suggestion is that be within 2 weeks.
I certainly have no objection to that. If anybody else objects, they're welcome to speak.
All right. So it has been moved with the
point
change.
Of information. 2 weeks?
Yes.
From today? 2 weeks from today or? Okay.
Yes.
Point of information?
Yes, Jim.
What does that mean? Current with all this, what could somebody just explicate what they mean by that?
Well, you were on the. I can do this. You were on the governance committee, and we discussed this in the governance committee. We're just trying to get actual records and transparency from all the LSBs and all the stations, and this is just a request that we actually comply with the Communications Act request. I mean, stuff is pretty much. You know, it's run of the mill. I don't know why.
Yeah, no problem, Fred. No problem, Fred.
Thank you.
Okay. So is there any objection to passing 5D2 with the change of by September 19th to be instead within 2 weeks of today? Hearing none, that's passed. 5D3, I think that is, and we'll go back and look at 6G.
Yeah, it's moot. It's already been resolved elsewhere, so it's no reason for us to wheel in on it.
Okie dokie. So, 5D4.
Substitute motion for 6H. The chair and secretary of each LSB and the officers of the LSB committees are instructed to post teleconferencing and or video conference coordinates of all meetings not held in executive sessions at least 10 days in advance of the meeting.
And I think there's more of the officers of PNB committees
I'm a little tense. The officers of the PNB committees are instructed to make teleconference or video conferences coordinates of committee meetings available to interested directors, which I know governance has been doing.
Is there any objection to this motion? Hearing none, it's passed. Recommend approving 6I as is.
I have a point of information. Can you not hear me?
I didn't hear you, no. So what's your point?
My point of information is that if, in fact, you're substituting motions, the process, as I understand it, so this is a parliamentary inquiry, is that you read the original motion and then you read the substitute motion. I don't understand why the original motions aren't even being discussed or read into the record, but we're just hearing someone's summary of what is to replace the original motion.
Madam Chair, may I speak to that?
Yes, please, okay. Teresa.
Okay. I think that we have a number of procedural, administrative, related motions. And in many instances, these may have gone through governance or may have even just been handled by the four officers saying, okay, well, we need to ask for these things from the secretary of each LSB by such and such a date rather than having the whole PNB go over all of these and taking up so much time on this. Because it didn't go through governance, I don't see the reason or the necessity of reading the original. In some of these instances, the substitute just adds dates to them, which actually need to be changed because we didn't get to them in previous PNB meetings. So that's how I would address your concern, Serene, that I don't think there's anywhere that it says we have to discuss the original motion because it not only didn't go through governance, but it went to a subcommittee of governance and then to governance and now to PNB.
So Darlene, you've got your hand up.
Yes, it's on the last, you moved on from the last one. Was that D or I? And I just couldn't unmute fast enough and nobody saw me wildly flinging my arms about. The issue I have with that one, I need to make sure I heard it correctly. 10 days in advance means that there can't be any meeting called for the next week because then you can only put up on KPFTX, a notice for 7 days. You can't put it up. If it's 10 days, you disallow a continuing meeting of the next week.
So
my question is, you want me to respond to that?
Yeah, please.
We actually discussed that in the governance committee and that issue was brought up, but it was determined by the vote of the committee that was not enough time because we are a volunteer organization and getting these things up to date and to speed in that fashion was going to be beyond our ability so that we went with the 10 days, understanding that this issue could have been brought up in the PNB like you have just done. I actually was fine with the 7 days, but this is how it came out and we're a democratic organization, so that's how it landed that way. It was brought up in the governance committee though.
And the secretary has noted in the chat that, the bylaws provide for 10 days for LSBs. and this pertains to LSBs, not to the PNB. Serene, you've got your hand up. Okay. So is there any objection? We've already adopted, 5D4, I believe that, Darlene, you didn't raise the question at the time because you couldn't raise your hand, but your question has been answered. And so I think we're ready to move on, to the next one.
Madam Chair, I can't raise my hand, but may I, be put on the stack on this subject?
Yes. Why don't you, at the moment, there's nobody else on the stack. Go ahead and speak.
Yes. Would it be out of order for me to move to reconsider the last motion and change it from 10 days to 7 days?
Would not be out of order.
I so moved in.
Is there a second to Jan's motion to reconsider the 5D4 to change at least 10 days in advance of meeting to at least 7 days?
I second.
Okay. Is there any objection? Well, we're reconsidering it. So is there any objection to reconsidering? Do you want to offer a motion to amend?
Yes, I'd like to offer a motion to amend the previously considered motion and just change the words from 10 days to, change the word, or the number 10 to 7.
Is there a second?
I have a substitute motion, perhaps. Let me try it out, would you, Madam Chair?
Okay.
That we change the 10 days to 7 days notice unless Roberts calls for 10 days, because I believe that's what I heard you say, that the bylaws,
no, bylaws
say 10 days for the LSB.
Our bylaws.
Oh, our bylaws say. All right, excuse me. Then the amendment would be 7 days unless the it's for the LSB, and we'll follow the bylaws of 10 days.
Point of information.
Could we say unless the bylaws require 10 days?
Time.
Thank you, Jan. Much simpler.
We're at time, so we will complete this agenda item. Is there an objection to changing 10 days to 7 days unless otherwise specified by the bylaws?
Point of information.
Unless otherwise required by the bylaws.
Otherwise required by the bylaws.
Thank point you. Of information.
Jim, what's your point?
We're talking about the advance scheduling for meetings, correct?
Yes.
How does this align with the CPB regs on advance warning? Is that 7 days? Someone can clarify that.
I believe it's 7.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so is there any objection? We're at the end of time, as Donna has told us. So is there any objection to the motion as amended, which provides 7 days unless, and Will Jan, will you give me that wording?
Unless otherwise required by the bylaws.
Okay. So hearing none, that is adopted. And we are back to the agenda. We're past the governance committee, personnel committee. Teresa, 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now you muted yourself. Oh.
Okay. Sorry. I want you to know that we are waiting on the self-evaluation from the executive director. And as soon as we get that, then the evaluation surveys will go out to the PNB and other parties, and the schedule that the Pacifica National Board, the personnel committee has determined will be adjusted from that. We were expecting, I believe, the surveys to be back by the 30th or the 31st, so we will adjust to that. And we are hoping that our PNB members do not need to be repeatedly bugged or reminded to receive them back. Please, as soon as you get it, please do it and return it. Okay.
Okay, and the last one, strategic planning, there is not an update. And let me note that we are at time certain, 9:45. We're at 9:48, I believe. And so we are ready to move into executive session.
9:49.
I have a question about personnel.
Yes, what's your question?
What is the process for serving the LSBs who by the bylaws are required to annually evaluate the executive director? It's supposed to be part of the executive director's evaluation.
So, what's your I think Darlene can answer that.
Darlene, go ahead.
The mandate for the personnel committee is to run the PNB evaluation of the executive directors. We do not tell the LSB when, how, and why they do their evaluation of the executive director. The PNB just has to do what it's told to do. And we did it last year, and we're fine-tuning it this year. So next year, it'll be hopefully well-polished.
So, Jim?
But the board, I think I'm still within my 45 or whatever seconds. The board is supposed to be incorporating any feedback received by the LSB. So if you don't seek the feedback, how would you incorporate it?
No, it doesn't. The PNB, independently and wholly, runs the evaluation of the person that they are supervising, which is the executive director.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, we're developing in New York a evaluation to be handed out to the LSB that handles this issue. So I agree, you know, all the LSB should do this, and, you know, I'll be more than happy to share that with other people. Thank you.
KPFT is doing it too. Okay, we're at 9:50, I guess. So we're going to move into executive sessions.